submit a 651. Logan Trust, Puller Logan Trust. Good afternoon and welcome.
Good afternoon.
So we've received both your evidence and obviously original submissions. Thank you very much for that. Maybe just to lead us through your key points.
I'll just read out what I've got anyway. Good afternoon. My name's Logan Puller and I've been a dairy support farm operation for more than 20 years. 17 of these have been in Tiarnell Basin where we currently farm. While we're all here with the same aim to protect our water environment, I feel some of your policies will severely affect our farming operation, management-wise, and viability of it. Intensive winter grazing is a huge part of our farming enterprise. Over the years, good management practices have eliminated the water quality issues to the extent that the water quality is higher leaving the property than it is coming in. All of our water bodies are fenced off, trees have been planted, sediment ponds been put in, sloping ground is only cropped for 1 year, and the purchase of our own fertiliser spreader to ensure the correct and accurate placement away from waterways. As for the implementation of the physiographic zones, it is very difficult for me to comment in relation to our farm as there is no current data in place. The data that I do have is outdated, and it's stating that I have a large area of peat, which is incorrect, and these soil profiles have proved this. The implementation of such these zones would have a profound effect on our land values, essentially price fixing, lowering the price of land, and eroding people's equity. Imagine if you owned a house in a prolific part of town, and then out of nowhere it was rezoned industrial. It wouldn't matter who you were or what you believed in, you would not be happy with the outcome. Any conditions limiting the area of our winter grazing under our current farm practice would essentially be punishing us for the already good environmental practices put in place. Up to 50% of a farm should be able to be intensively winter grazed following good management practices unconsented. Many dairy farm runoffs would become unviable if this was not the case. All of our open drains are fenced off, because they only run water over the winter months. We must have the ability to graze them over to the summer to control the grass and the weeds that will choke the waterways and to maintain a consistent, undestructive flow of water. Already we are seeing issues with neighbouring properties having waterways deer-fenced in and no way for maintenance work to be carried out to ensure that free flow. The waterways are being choked up, stopping the water to flow, it's travelling underground and it's raising the water tables, impeding the farm drainage. We're all here together working for a common goal. Policies introduced should not in any way impact the price of land, its management systems to the extent of the risk of it making it an unviable enterprise. But basically, the winter grazing part is a big part of our farm. We have probably been winter grazing up in Tiarnell, up to numbers of 3,000 cows and doing 150 hectares of cultivation. Our land holding's just over 400 hectares. Things have changed with the introduction of fodder beet, just because of the high yielding crops. The area we're now cultivating is down to 50 hectares. But you've got to have the scope to move with each seasonal. What comes around with how many numbers of cows you're wintering and things. But as soon as you bring in some of these zones into a farm, all of a sudden you can rapidly lose value if you're labelled as having a peat area on your farm. Fair enough with having these zones, but I think you do have to do a bit more homework on where they are. Like the photos I do have there, they were swamps from years ago. That it's just not a peat swamp anymore, whereas the other photos that were there of some of the Queen's Reserve up there, they're still in their natural state. It's just all the banks loan money on equity. As soon as you get a drop in your price of land, your equity's gone, and all of a sudden you're in a compromising situation.
So did you want to talk us through the photos?
The very top one, that's our farm boundary up there, and that's your areas of swamp. The bigger areas are actually ones that are, well, the big one is right on our boundary. You can't actually, the one in this bottom corner is a QE2 trust. It is an actual swamp. The areas there, they're not a swamp at all. It's the same as the soil profile down that bottom. And the middle photo is just an aerial view of that same area.
Right. And then?
They're just, they're right in the middle of the proposed, supposedly peat area of, on the farm. Right. And it's just not there.
So going back to that first map, so the area you're talking about is?
I think it's about 8 hectares.
So it's that, can you just put the cursor
just,
on
yeah,
it? That
one there, right? Yeah.
So how many hectares was that? Sorry?
That's approximately, I think, for environment, South Dominic's about 8.7, I think. And that's right where we've actually got cows wintering at the moment. And there's just, there's no runoff. It's dry as a bone. And it's okay if things are worked on fact and things like that, but I just struggle with some of it when it's not accurate.
And so that area is where you dug the holes with the...
It's right in the middle of that area, yeah. The big blue area at the top of the map there.
Okay. No, that's good. Is there anything else, or should we see if we have questions for you?
Basically, it's just with the zones, and I think, as the other speaker said, submitted before, it should be more on a percentage with your intensive winter grazing. All farm properties are different sizes. All farms have different farming structures. Some might be sheep and beef, some are deer, some are intensive winter grazing, some are dairy runoffs, and you've got to have that scope. Like if you shut that side of your farming operation down, you just can't afford to go out there and buy a whole lot of stock and restock it. We've been doing it for years. It's all set up to convert the dairy, but it's not something I want to go into.
Yeah.
I'm quite happy. I've done a lot of development. Basically, the place is all developed. We don't have to do any grazing on the hills or anything. It's all on the good flats. There's no runoff. The soils in Tiani are probably more suited to this type of winter grazing than probably anywhere else in Southland.
Okay, we'll see if we have questions for you, Edward. Question?
Yeah, good afternoon. So a lot of that is bedrock in the country. You've got some...
See, I think the helicopter, when it did all the flyovers, it didn't quite get to our property, and that's why there's no current data.
Oh.
It got to about two farms away.
Yeah. We've received a lot of submissions on looking at a percentage for intensive winter grazing, but if we do, and we're certainly going to be considering it, I doubt that would be 50%.
Yeah.
I mean, and you're clearly quite an intensive operation.
Yeah.
Can you just explain more why it works better, the intensive winter grazing up there where you are compared to other parts of Southland?
Well, I think our soils are better, can handle it better. You're not getting the runoff, you're also not getting the leaching through the soils. Because we used to farm at Pukerau on the main road there, it's totally different. The stocks stay high and dry. With the different cultivars and that of crop, like we're having to grow Swedes and Chow, we had to have the area to get that percentage. Now with fodder beet, you're getting twice the tonnage, so now you can pull your area of intensive cropping back.
Yeah,
but you've got to have the flexibility to be able to do that. Within your cropping regime, you've got to shift your crops around, basically. You can only crop in the same area for too long, and then you've got to move some other part of the farm. So you've got to be able to have that scope to be able to do that.
Do you see some benefit in terms of security for your operation? Should we come up with a percentage that still requires you to get a resource consent? Can you see a benefit in a resource consent?
I can't see the benefit. Like, it's difficult. A lot of it's good farm practice management. Having a consent to do it, it's just a lot of extra work, and I don't think you'll gain anything over it. It's going to give you control, and a lot of farmers they don't like having people having control over them all the time. Mm. And I don't see what it would gain by making people get consents. I think Environment South have been, had a lot to do with them. They've been very good at giving advice, and it's up to the farmers to go out there and ask for it. They can give you guidelines and everything like that, but you do need guidelines. But trying to limit amount of area, like everyone knows, like you don't want to have your whole farm cropping. Like it's just like we used to do a lot. We know the damage you can do if you're cropping on the wrong areas, and you keep it in the areas that work best for you.
Do you cultivate about 150?
No, we haven't. It'll be probably 7 years ago that we're doing that. We're down to 50. We've been at 50 hectares for the last 4 years now, and that's purely because of the fodder beet varieties that you can grow a lot heavier crops. Instead of budging it on 8-ton crop of swedes or chow, the fodder beet's doing 28-ton. So that's why it's more economic for us to do that, a smaller area, so we've got more area and grass, less airs on a tractor. So it's just trying to have flexibility.
Thank you.
Eric?
Yeah, knowing where you are, I'm surprised, looking at the plan, you haven't made some comment about the degree of land that you're able to work.
It doesn't really affect me in that way. I've developed all that land and I don't want to touch it again. For other people, yes. It's another management thing. To winter crop hills like that, I know what it'll do. But so, like for summer regrassing and that, I think it's something you need to do in the summertime. Like with the cows and that on the hills and that, you just wouldn't do it.
So looking at those faces that look at Talbot Road,
yeah,
what angle of degree would they be?
They'd be, what was saying before, 24, they're probably 30 or 35. And these faces were steep, and I've done all the development and cultivation on it because I knew this was coming. We only cropped them for 1 year. We went in with bulldozers, and we had sediment ponds at the bottom, and had Environment South, and they looked at it all. And we went in there because it was all native stuff, it was all sprayed out. We cropped it with oats and turnips one season, and then it was back in grass, and it's the highest producing part of the farm. But you just, the cost to go in there to do it, you just wouldn't do it again, you'll just keep oversowing.
Right.
Like it's just management. It's good management practices, and most farmers are like that. And we need to be able to have the ability to regrass, like those hill countries, and to spend so much money going in there just to regrass, you've got to put a crop in there to be able to break the cycle.
Thank you.
Lloyd?
No, I know Chris, Mr. Chairman.
Now, Commissioner Rodway, who's not here, has written down a question that he'd like me to ask
you,
so I'll just read that question out to you.
Yep.
It goes, you advocate that up to 50% of a property should be able to have intensive winter grazing.
Yes.
Most other submitters are asking for 10 to 20%. If there was 50% on many properties without further controls, do you think this would have an adverse effect on water quality?
Yes, it would, but not every farm is out there to do that. Every farming operation is different. A sheep and beef farm, yes, 10% is ample. If you're intensive grazing, winter grazing of stock, you need more of, you've got a dairy runoff block to send your cows away where you're cutting silage and growing, you'd only need 50% of that farm to have enough feed for your cows.
All right, thank you very much. Now, thank you for answering that, and thank you for coming in and making the presentation to us.
Thanks for your time.
Welcome.